And this is the 2009 West Coast School of the Prophets. The general theme is how to guard the heritage of Bible truth. We have with us our brother Roger Lewis. And this last session for this evening is a workshop, and it is entitled How to Learn the Secret of Sound Reasoning by Bible Principles. And we're going to be looking at the Facebook problem. Brother Roger.
Right, well, in the interest of time, we're just going to abbreviate this. I've jumped a few of the slides here. All I'm going to do is remind you, first of all, of how sound Bible reasoning ought to take place, and then I'm going to give you the puzzle or a casebook study, and you're going to reconvene in your groups for purposes of doing this study, and we'll limit ourselves to a fairly limited time frame to get this out and onto the whiteboard, and then that's our last session done. So let me just remind you of a couple of aspects about sound Bible reasoning, because what this is about is to say to you that there is no problem in life that does not have a biblical answer. There is no problem in life for which there is not a satisfactory biblical answer. And when we learn to use the Bible in this way, then it does truly become our codebook for life that's able to deal with all the issues of life, no matter what they are. So the first thing is that we want to use Bible principles to assess and solve problems. And one of the main reasons why we want to do that is because it helps us to view matters from a divine perspective. You know, when you're in the middle of life and there's a problem in the middle of a day, most often, the last thing we think about is Bible principles. You know, not often does a scriptural passage come to mind as being the first main thing that we should think about. You know, we're facing a problem. It may be to do with whatever our work is. Generally, we don't see it as being too much related to scriptures. But in fact, the moment we look at a problem from a scriptural perspective, we're forced to see a divine perspective to that problem that will probably help us to make a better decision in dealing with it. The second thing is that any problem may have several Bible principles that could be brought to bear on arriving at a scripturally sound answer. And that's a good thing. It's good that there might be more than one Bible principle that's involved in coming up with a good answer. Why would it be a good thing that there could be more than one principle involved? Yes?
When people rely on one principle, they become rather dogmatic. And they become almost singularly focused with these blinders on to the breadth of Scripture.
Yeah.
And it leads them to make...
Did you see that? Sorry. Yep. Carry on. I was just a mouse in the back of the hall there. So.
That leads them to make short-sighted or tend to lead them to a view which is not representative of all of God's Scripture.
Exactly. So... having several Bible principles means that we now need to juggle those principles as to how they all might apply to a particular situation. I was right, wasn't I, Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Last night,
oh, okay, all right. He's a member, he's a resident. He's probably paid his taxes, leave him. Bible principles are by their very nature non-specific, and therefore their application to a specific problem has to be thought out carefully. You know, wouldn't it be so good if God had said in the Bible, he'd given passages that just answered all the issues that we need to know? Wouldn't it be good if there was a Bible passage that said, should I wear a tie to the meeting or not? Just give me a quote and then it'll be all solved. But there aren't any Bible passages that mention ties. So you've got to think about whether there's any Bible principles that might be involved about our dress standards at ecclesial gatherings and how they might apply today and what that might do in terms of affecting our dress, how we might best apply those principles. But that's actually good because we're forced to think about them. We're forced to think about how those principles might work. And lastly, just a point here, if we cannot find satisfactory Bible principles to support what we are doing, then we need to think about whether to continue it or not. Far too many things happen in the truth and in people's lives, even in ecclesias, where people had no sound Bible principle, but they carried on doing something anyway. I think the answer should be, if you don't know what you're doing biblically, then don't do it. That's a pretty good rule. If you're not sure that there's Bible imperative for what you're doing, then cease from doing. Okay, next thing. We want to follow a Bible process. And I think the simple process is this. What are the specific issues in this problem? What Bible principles are involved in this problem? What specific Bible passages are relevant to this problem? And what overall Bible solution should be applied to this problem? Now, clearly, in order to find Bible principles, we'll probably relate them to Bible passages. So these two things could, in fact, go side by side or at the same time. So what are the issues? What are the Bible passages and principles? And what would our overall answer or solution be? Now, we're going to use mind mapping again as our process for this. And so the good thing about mind maps is that we start off with the problem in the middle, and then we go to the next section out, which is to radiate our first lines out. And those first lines that we radiate out will be a summation of what do we think the main issues are. And then outside those lines, once we've got to that stage, we would then seek to try and establish what Bible principles and passages might be brought to bear. So how we're going to do that is this, and I'm going to help you with this. First of all, we put the problem in the middle. And then we say, all right, what are the issues? So, and when you're doing a good mind map, if you've ever studied mind mapping in terms of how to do it properly, any good mind map book will tell you that the best way to do this is that each of these lines, if possible, should have just one word. That the first branch, before it branches out into multi, should have just one word. So what's that word? What are the key issues concerning this problem? And then as we get out to the key issues, we then start to bring Bible passages and Bible principles into play about each of those issues as we expand our mind map out. So I'm going to solve something for you at the start by telling you that the problem is Facebook. So don't start to try and create a different problem. I'm going to put the problem up on the screen in a moment, but for purposes of doing your group work, let me just clarify at the start that the problem is Facebook. Nothing else, nothing less, just Facebook. But it's Facebook in the context of the question that this problem presents. So are you ready for the problem? All right. So this is our case study. In fact, you need to convene in your groups once you've read this problem. So here's the case study for tonight. And we're going to apply biblical reasoning to the problem. We're going to say here and here and here and here and here, what are the issues? And then out from there, what Bible principles and passages might be brought to bear on this problem. And as a result of bringing all that together, we're then going to say, what's our overall Bible solution? Now, let me help you, profoundly help you, by letting you know right at the start, just in case you spend a lot of time on concordance work, there's not one single Bible passage that mentions Facebook. So whatever you do, don't waste time trying to find it because it's not there. But do you think there might be some Bible principles that could be brought to bear? The answer is absolutely. So here's the problem. A sister is well connected to the ecclesial world. Now let me just do that for a moment. You know that when I tend to put things up on screen, I choose my words with care. So can I just assure you that this problem has been written with care? There are subtle clues in the wording of the text that will lead you to a right understanding of the problem. A sister is well connected to the ecclesial world via her Facebook page. Her knowledge of and keen interest in the lives and circumstances of brothers and sisters in many places is extensive, and she's aware of endless news items from the ecclesial vineyard. Her attendance at her own ecclesia, however, is erratic, and her actual involvement in any capacity is very limited. Should she close her account and renew her ecclesial participation, or should she try to maintain involvement in both? Discuss the scriptural principles involved in both the issue and its wise resolution. All right, so I'll leave that up on screen. You're now entitled to reconfigure into your groups. And since it's already 20 past 9, I think that we'll give you 15 minutes maximum. So you've got 15 minutes in order to do some work on this. All right, let's reconvene to the front board. You can either stay in your groups or come back to your tables just wherever you like. Because you might be best to go back to your original tables. That's why everyone's comfortably facing the front. Okay, so we had an issue. So it wasn't just the Facebook problem in general. It's a particular problem with a particular person. So here we go. So first of all, could you think of any Bible issues or any issues that are related to this problem? So would someone like to give me an issue? Just one. So this group here. Actually, I'll just go through all the tables because it doesn't matter which group you belong to. So can you think of any issue that your group came up with?
So it's Western time.
A time issue, all right? So remember what he said, that one of the things about mind mapping is you try and limit the words. So time, all right? So we'll just put time down, okay? How hast thou spent thy time? It's a famous poem. Yep, that's good. Next table. Another issue?
Neglect of ecclesia.
Okay, neglect. Okay, so let's put down, I'll use two words for that. So ecclesial neglect, all right? Okay, that's good. So, next table. Back table. Another issue?
What we've got so far? Gossip?
Gossip, all right. Yes, so that's another one. So, there's an issue of gossip that could be related to this sister and the Facebook matter. All right, so gossip, yep. What other issues are there? Table at the back here. Can you think of another one?
The news items?
Yes.
News content?
The
content of the news items.
Sorry, what was it?
Content of the news items.
Okay, right. So,
news content.
Okay, news content. Yeah, all right, that's good. Okay, so that's good. Next table. Can you think of another issue?
I'd say attendance, but I wasn't sure if that...
All right, so that could be related to... I think we'll probably make that a subset of this. So attendance, yep. So that's one of the issues concerning ecclesial neglect. Yep, that's good.
How about the stalemate for personal spiritual growth?
Okay, yep. So where will we put that down? I think that's a different line altogether.
How is the growth?
So let's just put growth, okay? Okay, so we'll just put here personal spiritual development. Okay, that's good. Okay, any other issues? Table at the front. Can you think of any other issues?
I think we've got them all.
Okay. Anyone else like to add another issue before we move on to the next layer of the mind map? Yes?
I think there's an issue that she's connected to all these people, potentially all around the world, but she's not serving in her own backyard. Because you said, if I remember, something about all corners of the vineyard or something.
Yep.
And she's supposedly encouraging internationally, but not encouraging people in her own ecclesia locally. So I don't know how you put that down, maybe something like...
involvement?
Would involvement?
Maybe detachment.
Yep.
Misdirected something.
We will put it down as involvement in ecclesia. Yeah, because it's one of the issues. All right, that's good. Any other problems? Any other key problems?
I don't think it's not just that she's not involved in her own ecclesia. It's that that's where she
She's misdirected. She's applying the worldwide brotherhood in the place of her local ecclesia.
Yep. Okay, I understand that. So, all right, well, let's put that out here then. So, what we want to have a special word for that is...
Would you call that misdirected effort?
How about globalization?
I'll just put here worldwide focus for the moment, all right? It's not perfect, but we know what the issue is, worldwide focus. So she has a worldwide focus, but in fact, if we were to look at it from a biblical point of view, we're not convinced that she should. Yes, another one.
Another one, how about, I say, behavior issues or attitude because of her lack of, you know, attendance. Like you said, she was erratic in her own ecclesia.
Yep.
So where were behavior and attitudes
within
her?
Exactly. So you're right. There's an issue here. You could say we could add the word erratic here, right? But it depends on whether we want to focus on the negative or on the positive. But I think we've got the issue there. Let me just add one more issue, which you may not have thought about, but I think is quite significant in this context, although it wasn't really in the notes that I gave you, but I'll put it down anyway, and that's this. Now, I don't know if you can all read that, but that says electronic footprint. That whatever she does on Facebook is permanently there, even if she closes her account. Don't ever think that Facebook's going to erase it, because they don't. So whatever she says in terms of the gossip she's passing on, or jokes she's passing on, or comments about other people in the ecclesial vineyard she's passing on, or stuff that's photos that are being moved around, whatever, it's a permanent electronic footprint that's in her name. If I can put it in perspective, for all of us, imagine if we got knocked on the shoulder at one stage by an angel saying, "The Lord has come and calleth for thee, it's time to come to the judgment seat." And we come to the judgment seat and the Lord says, "This is your personal angel. He has a copy of your Facebook account and every email you've ever sent, and he'll be discussing those with you in his assessment for your suitability for the kingdom." What would we think now of our Facebook account and our email trail back through time in terms of what we've said? And I think that's an aspect that this sister perhaps hasn't thought about as well. So it's sort of unrelated, but it's quite an important one. For example, if there ever was a situation in the future where a country went to war, and because males and females now enjoy equal opportunities, they draft the females as well, and she says, "Oh, no, I'm a Christadelphian," well, it's possible that a government could subpoena all electronic records to determine whether the person's genuine in their faith. How committed are you? Let's have a look. Ben?
The government sort of already does that. The IRS is actually tracking, people who haven't paid child support payments.
Yep.
Through Facebook, and they say, "I've just, won the lottery, or I've moved to this state," or something like that.
Okay.
So the IRS is tracking them down through their Facebook.
All right. Yep. So that's just another issue that may not have come up straight away. It's not a Bible issue as such, but it could be. It could be a Bible passage that we'll bring to bear. All right. Give me some Bible passages then. That's plenty, really. So give me something about time. Any Bible passages or principles that could be relevant to the time issue.
Ephesians 5:16.
Right, Ephesians 5:16, which says?
Redeeming the time.
So redeeming the time because the days are evil. So, one of the things with Facebook is it's addictive. And the time can multiply. So before you know it, people, you know, have spent 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours on Facebook, and it was all the work of the truth, or so they thought. But in fact, if you said, do you do this every day? Well, yes, I spend about 2 hours every day. So that's 10 hours, 12 hours a week. How much time are you doing Bible readings? 12 hours? No. How many hours do you spend reading Christadelphian literature? 12 hours? No. How much time at prayer? 12 hours? No. How many times attending Bible class? 12 hours? No. But I'm spending 12 hours on Facebook. There's a lopsidedness here in terms of her allocation of time. So she's got a time problem. Any other passages on time? Ben.
2 Thessalonians 3 verse 11, where Paul says, "For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, doing busy bodies, not doing any work."
Okay, not doing any work, exactly. So it could be that she's spending time on this when she should have been doing something else more positive from an ecclesia's point of view, or ecclesial contribution point of view. All right, what about the matter of ecclesial neglect, attendance, involvement in ecclesial life? Any passages that anyone had for that? Ben?
Revelation 2:5.
Yep.
Remember then from what you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. So,
okay, so sort of like first.
Out of the works that they've done.
All right, Revelation 2, verse 5. Okay. I can think of an obvious one with regard to attendance.
Hebrews 10, verse 25.
Thank you. Hebrews 10, verse 25, which says,
"Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one to another, and so much more as you see the day approaching."
All right. Now, one of the reasons why she's not attending, as was mentioned earlier, is because she somehow got mixed up in her understanding. The body of Christ, remember in our fellowship talk, we said the body of Christ exists throughout the world. We don't even know who all the members of the body of Christ are. But one thing we can say is this: how do we contribute to the body of Christ? And the biblical answer is that the biblical unit of fellowship is the ecclesia. And our contribution, our principal contribution to the body of Christ, is by what we do in our own individual ecclesia. That's where Yahweh's placed us. In the providence of God, that's where we've been placed. Is there work to be done there? To nurture, to care, to be involved in preaching, to do Bible class, to encourage other people, to discuss the truth, to show hospitality, to visit the fatherless, to talk to the widows, to have contact with people. It all happens in the context of ecclesial life. That's how we contribute to the body of Christ. Very few of us can say, well, my responsibility is global. Oh, yeah? Really? It's not. There's no biblical basis for it to be global either. Even someone like the Apostle Paul had a home ecclesia that he returned to, spent time with, despite the fact that he had a commission from Christ to travel abroad. So she's got a problem that this whole worldwide focus was actually not biblically sound. So she's heading off down the wrong track in terms of her whole involvement. But she thinks she's contributing, doesn't she? But in fact, what she's really doing is she's probably retailing gossip. Yes. Okay, so where would we put that?
Well, I think, yeah, opposite worldwide focus.
Okay, so what was the quote again?
This is Corinthians 12, verse 18.
Okay, set the members in the body.
You have been set in and pleased by God.
Yeah, as it has pleased him, being the critical phrase. So if God has placed us in an ecclesia, then 12:18, is that right? 1 Corinthians 12:18. Then we need to get on with the work of the truth in that place, rather than seeking to move abroad or find some other function that in fact robs our own ecclesia of our contribution and involvement. Right, what about gossip? Any passages on gossip?
James 1:26.
Right. Which says,
"If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain."
Right, so James 1:26. Good. Anything else?
1 Timothy 5:13.
Yep.
Speaking about sisters, with all they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not.
Yep. Any other passages?
Ephesians 4:29.
Yep.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Okay. All right. So those are all good quotations about the careful use of information that she's retailing on. Because you see, what happens with Facebook is this, is, and it could be not just the sister, but anyone says, oh, you know, I've just been on Facebook, and Brother Bob is hiking in Tibet at the moment, and unfortunately, Sam and Maria have broken up in South Africa, and Sam's not very happy at the moment, and Brother Bill has caught a chill in the UK, and he's feeling really, really not too good. So what? So what? It's not that there's anything evil with that information, is there? There's nothing intrinsically evil, but we don't need to know what every brother... There's 50,000 people in our community. I don't need to know what they're doing every day of their lives. That's not relevant to my work in the truth. If I ever go to their ecclesia, I'll be delighted to visit them and talk with them. But I don't... You see, where would that stop? The answer is there's no place where it stops. It's just an endless repetition of stuff that finally is just the mindless passing on of gossip.
Paul makes an awesome point in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when he contrasts what the attitude of perhaps of the sister is with actually the concern of brotherly love, and that they stand opposed to one another. The quotation is this, starting in verse 9 of Thessalonians chapter 4, "But concerning the love of the brethren, we have no need to write any one of you, for yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do love all the brethren throughout Macedonia. But we exhort you, brethren, to do so more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we charged you, so that you may command respect of outsiders and be dependent on no one."
1 Thessalonians
4, 9 through 11.
Okay, so 9 through 11. So I think we'll put that in this whole context of ecclesial life and ecclesial contribution. What about something about personal spiritual growth? She's obviously not doing much in the way of Bible reading or Bible study or Bible discussion or prayer or anything, is she? Her whole spiritual life's really in a bit of a shambles. Any quotations you can think of about that?
Study to show yourself approved.
All right, so that's 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. What's the passage? Second Timothy 2:15. Okay. I mean, there's lots of other passages that we could bring to bear about giving ourselves to prayer and to reading and to exhortation and so on. So we could actually multiply that up. All right. What about the news content, Ben? You had something. Can you just explain what you meant by news content? Okay, so really related to this in a sense.
No, Acts 17:21.
Okay, Acts 17:21, which says what?
Says, "Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who live there spent their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new."
Hey, that's interesting, isn't it? Spent their time in nothing else other than to hear or tell something new. And it, see, gossip is extraordinarily interesting. People love to hear gossip. It's like stories. They're little stories, but they're often salacious little stories, tasty little morsels about people's rises and falls. And we have a proclivity towards hearing those sorts of things, especially if they're about their falls, because somehow we feel just slightly taller when we know that another brother's been proved to be slightly shorter. So the news content could be called into question here in terms of the quality. Yep. Oh, a lot of New Testament. Yes. Why is there a lot of New Testament? Very good. I mean, I think one of the reasons is because you see in the New Testament, this is basically like the commandments of Christ. This is, you know, if you went to the commandments of Christ, you'll find some of these things start popping up. In fact, the commandments of Christ would be an excellent source document to add passages to this. So here's the, I think we'll stop at this point because it's getting close to 10 o'clock and I want to hand over to Josh. But here's the point. Is there any Bible passage about Facebook? No. Are there principles involved here that relate to scriptural ideas? Absolutely yes. So what would our overall conclusion be in terms of the counsel that we might give to this sister?
Close the account and refocus. Maybe, I guess it would depend on her age and the age of the children, or her age or the age of how she relates to the other members in the ecclesia.
Right.
So she would turn her focus to the elders, or whether the elder sisters would turn their focus to her.
Yep. Okay. So your advice would be to close the book and recommit to ecclesial life.
Yep.
Tony?
Yeah, even if it's temporary.
Yep. Tony?
The problem with that might be that there's other members of the ecclesia who also have a Facebook account. And she said, well, if I'm going to close it, then everyone should close theirs. And then we would say, well, but they don't have a property. You see, now you get an all kind. Mm. So it's just straight up telling her, you have to close the account. I mean, I agree. That might not work.
It has to be done the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's going to look at everybody else and say, wait, I'm not.
The issue of how we handle it is a different one.
Yeah.
Ben, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, because she's probably friends with all the members in the ecclesia, being that she likes to have friends on Facebook.
Yeah. Okay, so what would our conclusion be? What advice would we give?
1 Corinthians 10.
Right.
13:14, there is no temptation taking you, but such as common a man, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above the fact that you are able. The temptation also may be a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry.
What's the verses, Jimmy?
1 Corinthians 10:13 and 14.
All right, so 13 and 14. I think if I was asked the question, my advice to the sister would be to close the account. And the reason is to say that what's happened is you've got so involved and so connected here that the real issues of life and the truth are being lost. Now, by the way, you wouldn't actually put this, you wouldn't say, here's my mind map on your problems, okay? So there's another whole issue about how you might handle it. But in fact, as you sat down to chat to her, you'd say, look, we're just a bit concerned that, you know, there's a few things, you know, that have gone wrong here in terms of the fact we're not seeing you at the meeting. We're not seeing you at Bible class. We're not seeing you at the lectures. And by the way, people are absolutely crying out for help on this committee here in terms of preaching. We'd just love to have some help, but we seem to be so desperately short, and I just thought you'd be really suitable for that role of making a contribution in that area. And there's also this and there's also that. So I just wanted to have a chat to you about this. Because I wonder whether this whole issue stems from your Facebook account. I wondered whether we could just sit down and have a quiet chat about this and maybe just open our Bibles and work our way through it. Because, you know, it's very easy to get offline on things, not intentionally, but all of us at times get out of kilter with what real spiritual growth and real spiritual life is all about. So you'd want to lead her to actually the fact that she comes to the conclusion that maybe she should close the account. And how you do that is by using the technique that the Lord used in Luke 24. What are you feeling so sad about? Well, didn't you know about Jesus of Nazareth? No, what's all this about? Well, he was this man, he came here, we thought he would be the Messiah, and he's been killed and crucified, and we don't know what's happened, and he actually, he brought them in through questioning, didn't he? So they opened up how they really felt. And then he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe. And then he opened the scriptures to them, and without a single PowerPoint presentation, enthralled them on the road to Damascus, road to Emmaus, in terms of how that the Old Testament had prophesied of the sufferings and glory of Messiah. But he drew out their thinking by questioning. And I think that you would try and do that with the sister and see if you could lead her to the conclusion. So what do you think then? What do you think would be best for you to recommit to the ecclesia? How do you think you might best be able to do this? And if she said, well, I don't want to close my account unless everyone else does, I'd say, well, actually, we're not talking about their spiritual development, are we? You've got to decide what's best for you in your journey to the kingdom. And it may be that they should do that as well. But right now, the issue isn't what other people do, but what you think will be best for you in your spiritual development. What do you think would be best right now for you? Now, Josh made a point earlier on, which is that maybe a halfway house is to say to her, why don't you close it for a while and become involved in the ecclesia. And if once that's settled down and you're making a contribution, you're feeling spiritually strong, that you believe that there is still a need or a value to for having an account like that later on, well, then maybe you can reassess it. But right now, it's going to be really difficult for you to, in fact, continue to run it because you've got a problem with it. The best way for you to deal with the problem, if thine eye or thy hand offend thee, be radical in your surgery. Tim.
I was just going to quote Matthew 5:29.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Okay. And here you waited and waited and waited, you know, with a hand up, and I robbed you right at the end. I'm sorry about that. So here's the thing. There is no problem in life that can't be dealt with by scriptural thinking and scriptural reasoning. Even something as apparently modern as a Facebook account has got scriptural principles that would be brought to bear to help give guidance to our sister. And as we've said, the way we handle her will be crucial to a good outcome. So that's another whole thing. You could mind map that separately, is to say, okay, having done that, let's put another mind map up on which says, how will we handle this with the sister? And away we go again on another mind map to figure out the solution. All right, look, I know that's been a really long day today. I've pounded you fairly extensively, but you know, you need to know that you want to get value for the fees that they charge, these guys. So I hope you've got some value for the fees today.